Support for WPR comes from Stone Harbor, a Door County resort and conference center with a restaurant and pub overlooking the historic Steel Bridge in Sturgeon Bay. Live music and event schedule at stoneharbor-resort.com.
Many of us have older pieces of furniture or older things of one sort or another in our homes. They maybe were handed down by one family member or another. Antiques, we would call them. Maybe we want to get those antiques appraised. Maybe we're getting ready to sell those antiques and sell a whole lot of other things in an auction. Well, I tell you what, Shirley Bauman does all those things. She looks at antiques. She does appraisals. She's an auctioneer. She's a certified appraiser and auctioneer, and we're pleased to have her back. Always have a lot of fun with her. And you can join in with your own questions about appraisals and auctions and antiques as we visit with her. The number's 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And judging from past experiences, it's always impossible, as a matter of fact, to come up with an exact value of a particular item. We might be able to give some sort of ballpark, or at least Shirley's great at telling you where to go to find that information. So that, with that said, I will say hi, Shirley.
Hi, Larry. It's so nice to be back again today. And I'm just going to add to one thing you said. It's almost impossible on the radio to make it a value on things. But when we get to see them in person and do the research, we come up with a number.
Come up with a number, mm-hmm. And you can come up with a pretty good number.
Yes.
And you do all these things.
I do all those things. You're right. I do appraisals and auctioneering.
Let's say we've got an heirloom. We're not going to sell it anyway. Mm-hmm. Why would we want that appraised?
Well, there's a number of reasons to have it appraised. Number one, in that case, is probably to insure it properly.
Mm.
You know, if you have a loss in something like that, say one of those tornadoes comes through here that we've seen so many times before in Wisconsin, it's lost, damaged, beyond repair. Of course, you can't replace it, but you could get the monetary value for it. Or if it was stolen or water damaged, I worked with a family a few months back that had a house here. The mother went to assisted living, and the son lived in Florida, and they were keeping the house for a time being. And he said one day he got a call from the electric company and said, the house up here has water dripping down the windows on the inside. And they don't know how long it was that way, but everything in it was just destroyed from water having burst and pipes burst. Beautiful furniture and everything gone, artwork and such. So that way we did what's called a hypothetical appraisal because mm-hmm. we don't know what the condition was before the damage. And, of course, the insurance company is going to say to you, are you sure it was in mint condition when mm-hmm. we come in later? It's everything that old was just perfect, you know, and kind of try and question you a little bit. So it's much more to people's advantage to have that insured prior to loss than after.
Makes good sense. Dennis in Brookfield, we'll give you a chance first here. Hi, Dennis. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I have a question. I received a number of oil paintings from people in my family that have passed away, and I have them in my home. How important is it to have something like that done, and does it depend on the age? What can she tell me about that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I get questions on artwork a lot. And the first thing I want to tell you is that I'm an antiques appraiser, and I'm not a fine art appraiser. Mm-hmm. And there is a difference. And I know on the Antiques Roadshow you see both things. Well, they do bring in the fine art specialists for that show. Now, I'm hoping to get my fine art credentials this fall, but I don't have them right now, so I want you to know that. But how important is it to look at it? Age is not the only factor in the value of a painting. Who the artist is, what the subject was, the genre, there's all kinds of things. What would be important is to get somebody who knows a bit about this to look at it to give you an idea if it's worth pursuing. Number one, you can look at the signatures. You could go on the internet and see if those artists are listed there in any way. That would give you a clue to look a little further and maybe have somebody else look at it. If you just can't find any of those names as listed as artists, in your research, well, then it might be less likely. And you can also kind of look at the quality of the artwork. And I know that's pretty hard to judge from a novice if it's a high quality work or not. But you might be able to get some idea if it looks like it's an amateur artist, perhaps, and you can't find the artist's name anywhere. Well, then it might not be as important as if you did find that name and you were seeing numbers for sales of others of that person's work going high.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Is it expensive to have something like that done if you wanted to hire someone to come in and have them look at it?
Well, yeah, it can be relatively so. But, of course, if you have a valuable painting, it's worthwhile doing it. Appraisal rates for formal written appraisals will probably run, the ranges I know of are from $90 to $150 an hour.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Gary in St. Cloud, Wisconsin. Hi to you.
Hello. I'm on the highway now, but I'm calling from the Holy Land.
All right.
A little cluster of towns between Fond du Lac and Sheboygan.
Okay.
But anyway, many years ago, a friend of mine who knew that I was a Richard Nixon fan gave me a 15-inch by 15-inch black and white portrait of Richard Nixon in a very modest, looks like a pine frame. And last Christmas, my son, who's now 30, said, well, let's take the back off of here. So people always hide stuff in the back of pictures. And I said, well, whatever. I never did. Well, anyway, we took the back off, which was put together. It had had tape on it. It looked like 30-year-old masking tape. And lo and behold, we took the back off of it, and there's about, I can't remember if it's 12 or 14 signatures, but we don't recognize any of them except three of them. One is Pat Nixon, one is Harry Truman, and one is George Patton. And we have written and sent copies of this to the Nixon Library in California, and all they said is it looks like a photo shoot from the late 50s or the early 60s. The problem that comes in there is George Patton died in Europe in 1945. But he was such a Patton fanatic that he used to sit in the White House and watch that George C. Scott movie, Patton, just over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And we have gone to the library and gotten copies from a signature book, and the Pat Nixon and the Harry Truman definitely look like the real thing. These other people, we don't know if they were political aides of his, and we're wondering perhaps if the George Patton signature is George Patton's son, who was 10 years younger than Richard Nixon, who was named George Patton. And we don't know where to go with this any further. We figured mm-hmm. the Nixon Library would help us out, but they just said, well, this looks like a picture from the late 50s, early 60s.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you do in a situation like this?
Well, you just brought up a very good point and something we run into all the time when in this line of work, and that's called authenticating the signatures. And that's what you need to do first. And what would happen, if that came to me to work with, what I would do first is I'd look at, under high magnification. First of all, to determine if it was actually signed by hand or maybe one of those auto pens
mm-hmm.
that, say, perhaps Pat Nixon might have done, because she would have had her signature signed over and over and over. So you first need to determine if it's actually authentic, handwritten, and then to authenticate them. And I'm going to tell you how I would do it, because this illustrates the importance of having an appraiser who belongs to one of the international or national appraisal associations. What I would do is I would take such close pictures of those signatures and get all the information I possibly could, and I would use the wonderful tool, the email, and I would send them off to a fellow in New Jersey who I am associated with through the International Society of Appraisers. Now, that gentleman was actually involved with appraising the Nixon White House papers,
oh.
all the Watergate papers. So his specialty is historic papers and signatures. So he could probably look at my pictures of them. And, you know, we'd hire him, of course, to do that. That doesn't come, that kind of consultation doesn't come for free. And then he would look at that and help us determine it, if they were authentic, and then help put us a value on them. Mm-hmm. Every appraiser doesn't know everything. So that's why we work with those specialists who do know things like that.
And sometimes a signature could be worth a fair amount of money, sometimes not. When you see several signatures, and if they're all authentic signatures, that might add to the value.
It's possible that it would. Now, of course, if there was Richard Nixon's signature on there rather than Pat Nixon's signature, that would probably be worth a little bit more. I don't know if General Patton's son's signature really carries any value or not. Mm-hmm. Of course, political collectors would be putting the prices on that by what they might pay for something like that.
Mm-hmm. Gary, thank you very much for calling. Shirley Bauman, our guest today, auctioneer and certified appraiser, talking antiques, appraisals, and auctions with her. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking antiques, appraisals, and auctions today with Shirley Bauman, auctioneer and certified appraiser. Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you listening in. All our lines are filled, but keep the number in mind, 1-800-642-1234 or Madison at 263-1890. We'll have some open lines pretty quickly. Let's talk to Arnett in Dodgeville next. Arnett, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, good afternoon. I was watching Antiques Roadshow Monday night, and they had a piece on there. I believe it was Weller Pottery. It was called a copper piece because it had a blue-green glaze with a lot of little frogs around the top. Well, I just happen to have a piece like that. It doesn't have a tag on the bottom, although it is numbered. Where would I could you recommend an arts and crafts book, perhaps, that I could check out at the library or online someplace to check this out?
Sure.
Sure. There's a lot of good books on this, and just because the piece isn't signed, it doesn't mean it isn't authentic. And sometimes they didn't sign some of those things. Weller Pottery is one of the potteries that was out of Ohio, and they did a lot. Their heyday was in about the 1940s in that time period, although they did pottery before and after that time, of course. And there are a number of books that you can get on that. There are some that are specifically Weller Pottery by a number of authors. There are books by Schiffer on Weller Pottery is one name that just comes to mind. Mm. There are really quite a lot of them. There's also American Art Pottery, which is the category that that falls in. So you could search under American Art Pottery, and you would definitely find it in there.
Okay, and then another quick question. I'm being of that age. I have a lot of Beatles memorabilia.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a book? I have a first edition of one of John Lennon's little books. And at the time, my girlfriends, you know, we were 16. We mailed them off to England because we were in a fan club. And one came back signed with his signature. And I have no idea if this is authentic or if somebody over there signed it. And, you know, but is there any way I could check out how much any, if it be Beatles memorabilia has any value?
Oh, it has value.
It does have value and varying values, yes. That would be something worth looking into. One of the places you could start just to get a feel for it is go on to eBay, search for Beatles.
Okay.
And if you are on there on the left-hand side on eBay, down if you scroll towards the bottom, it will say show completed listings.
Okay.
That's where you see where things have sold for before, not just the auctions that are going on. You have to log in that way. But you can then search and see if there was anything just like yours that sold.
Okay.
And this would be, again, the category is Beatles, collectibles.
Okay.
Those would be good places to start with
that. Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thanks very much for calling. Matter of fact, I have a friend who might be interested, who likes Beatle memorabilia and has collected a lot of it. John in Schofield, your turn. Hi, John.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a couple of old hand-cranked butter churns that I got from my mother, and the mechanism on them both works real good. And I have the glass jars. They're still screwed onto the top of the glass jars. One jar says 2 quarts on it. The other one is bigger. I think it's probably a gallon. And there's really no markings on the metal parts at all. But on the bottom of the one, it looks, the bigger one, it looks like there's kind of a stylized letter A. And other than that, I was just wondering if you knew, had any idea if they had any value at all.
Sure. The butter churns are just a piece of Americana, something from the past that people love to collect. Oh, some will put maybe shelves in their kitchen and have them decorating their kitchen, and others will collect all kinds of the glass butter churns and that kind of thing. Again, it all varies as to the condition, as to value. Sometimes the, you know, the metal lids could get wet and rusted, and maybe there's chips around the rim of the glass jars, but there's all different kinds and sizes, and the colors, like I say, the paint. Judging from your description, I think in the small ones you might be, you could be in the $50 to maybe $65, $75 range, and they might go up a little bit higher for the larger one.
The only one other question, I was thinking I would kind of clean them up and paint them. What color would they be painted, or were they painted?
You know, I would probably recommend that you not paint them.
Just clean them up a little bit.
Just clean them up. Yeah. Okay. Now, the glass, they're clear glass jars, yeah. Right? Uh-huh. And the paint would be on the lid part. And yeah. the metal parts. Yeah. Once you start doing that, you take away its original value.
Yeah.
If you can clean it carefully, leave the paint the way it was, you know, when you see what you see remaining is good. If there's something that's been, you know, really rusted and you just wouldn't put it in your house, and then it probably wouldn't have a lot of value either. And then you go through and you work on it. That's kind of a different story. And you often saw those in dark green or red or sometimes black.
Neither one is rusted through, so thanks a lot.
Sure. All right, thanks a lot for calling. Jim and Madison, your turn. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I have a Japanese gong. I'm pretty sure it's Japanese. And it's about 13 and a half inches across and 11 inches high. It has characters inscribed around the rim, Shouha Gunneng. You probably don't know. That doesn't make any sense to you. But it's supposedly it's in the 1644, December 16th to 1648, February 5th would be the time of that era. It's the Shouha era. And it's 64th year of the Shouan. Anyway, it's been in my family for about 70 years, and my mother collected all kinds of stuff. And probably got it in Portland, Oregon, but I don't know. And I'm wondering how I can authenticate. Is it something that would have been? It's a Japanese temple gong, and I've seen one pictured in a temple in Japan. Would it be just export for American consumers, or is it an authentic gong back in the 1600s?
Well, yeah, that's the question we have to answer, isn't it?
Yep.
It's
got
and
a beautiful tone. It just,
right,
but
right.
But it's got some dents in it.
Yeah. The people that we have to get in touch with are someone who has a specialty in Orientalia.
Yeah.
And, again, I do that through my professional organization because I don't read those characters. I don't have that knowledge.
Right.
The other place that you can sometimes go to get things authenticated is to museums.
Okay.
If you make appointments ahead of time with people, and I know Chicago area, at the Art Institute in Chicago is really the regional specialist in Orientalia. And we've had them look at some woodblock prints before, and it's possible that they might be able to authenticate your gong down there, too.
Oh, okay.
So you might just want to make a call down there and see if there's anyone available.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Jack in Green Bay, we turn to you now. Hi, Jack.
Good afternoon, Larry. Hi, Shirley.
Hi.
Got a question regarding old stock certificates. My grandmother had somehow accumulated around 20 stock certificates from mining companies out in the West, dated 1900 to 1905. Some of the certificates were actually number 0002 on up, but they weren't in the bearer name that I can do anything with. Are these of any value as far as who might want to even purchase something like this?
Well, stock certificates have become more collectible in recent years, and there are some organizations, Winslow is one I'm thinking of off the top of my head. That's pretty much all they do. And they have big auctions of stock certificates, oh, probably quarterly or every other month or something like that. And that's all really that they specialize in is that kind of thing.
I did some research by contacting the secretaries of state of Arizona, New Mexico, and there was about four different states. And most of these companies, they cannot track. I was also told that sometimes another company will buy these mining companies out, and these stock certificates are actually valid. But Stock Search International, that's another one of those outfits that charges you an arm and a leg to evaluate them. But I think I might be stuck with maybe just putting these in a frame and selling them to stockbrokers. I don't know.
That's really where the collectability is, or someone who has, you know, some history and in some way been associated with that company. You know, my great-granddad worked there or something of that nature. Those are people who collect them. As far as being able to turn them in for value, I can't help you there.
No. But the company you mentioned was Winslow?
Scott Winslow, they do mail catalogs. I get them frequently in the mail of all stock certificates that they're doing auctions of. And I don't remember where they're out of, but that's
Scott Winslow would be the put that in a search engine. You might find it.
Yeah.
All right, Jack. Thanks for calling. Good luck. Ellen in Rice Lake, your turn next. Hi, Ellen.
Hello.
Hi.
Good afternoon. I have many old postcards that have English and Swedish writing on them, various fronts from the early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering what they are. They worth anything?
Well, they might be, and then again, maybe not. Actually, postcards, there are a lot of collectors of postcards, and some postcards can get to be quite valuable. There's a lot that people look at when they collect postcards, and of course, condition is very, very important. But the subject, how they're made, what the subject is on them, if they're, for an example, a real photo that has been turned into a postcard, they call them real photo postcards.
Okay.
The type of printing, in some cases, there might be illustrations on there, and they might have been illustrated by someone famous. Maybe the topic has something to do with it. I had some from the very early Rose Parade. And so sports collectors and postcard collectors like those.
Okay.
So it varies a lot as to what the subject is and all the rest of that, how old they are, of course.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a Red Wing jug, It's a 5-gallon. It's an old one, I know. It has the wing on it, and then it has the stamp from the Red Wing Company under that.
Mm-hmm.
And the stamp is oval, and then it's in blue?
Yes.
Okay. That isn't quite as old as the ones that the collectors are really, really after.
Okay.
The ones that they like are where that that seal there is impressed into the body of it.
Okay.
So people really like that one. However, Red Wing Crocs and jugs, anything with the wing and the company's name on, is all collectible.
Okay.
And if somebody doesn't know, they actually were made in Red Wing, Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
And that company started out making tile drains and utilitarian things, and they went into the pottery later. And even later, they went into art pottery as well as the crocs and jugs and such.
Mm.
The number 5 on the side of the jug here stands for a 5-gallon size.
Okay.
I did once upon a time have a woman who came with me with a number 2, and she was on her croc, and she was very proud because she thought she had the second croc ever made. And she was real disappointed when I told her it was the size. But the 5 stands for the size, and again, you got to look at them. If there's any hairline cracks, chips, discolorations from using it, that all affects the value.
Okay.
And they're not quite as collectible as they were maybe, say, even 10, 15 years ago. But you might be looking in the 60, 75,
somewhere in there,
dollar range.
Okay.
Give or take, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. And we turn next to Dave in Black River Falls. Dave, hello to you.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a, it's actually my wife's, but she met Felix D. Weldon, and he had sent her a original bronze statue. And I know when he died broke like a lot of artists, but I don't know if it has any value or where I would go to find out if what the value would be.
Is this statue the one with the Indians and the
on the island, the Indians, it's an original, though.
Right.
Yes.
I think I might have seen it before.
Oh, okay.
I think it's the one you brought to one of the appraisal fairs.
Yes, okay. I didn't know.
Recognize
your name.
Good. Well, I recognize the piece of art.
Yeah.
And I have been working on that.
Oh. Okay.
And just to explain to people who Felix D. Weldon is, he is the gentleman who did the original bronze work of the raising of the flag at Iwo Jima.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did an original piece of art. He was brought to Wisconsin by the Ho-Chunk Nation, I believe, when they were trying to commission some work from him.
Correct.
And it's a difficult item to find the buyer for.
Yeah.
And that's the issue.
I believe that. And I remember the figure that you had given me. And obviously I was hoping it would be worth more than that because, mm-hmm. He is very famous. But I do know, I read an article where when he died, they emptied out the place that he died in. He had lots of pieces, and they really weren't worth anything anymore.
Yeah, so. It's amazing how people's, popularity comes and goes. And it's not saying that it won't increase in value in some time in the future, but at this point, it's been hard to do that. But why don't you contact me again,
mm-hmm.
and we'll talk, okay? Mm-hmm. Do you have the...
Let's go on. Give us your website and phone number and so forth.
It's www.heirloomappraisal.com, and then email is Shirley Bauman with two N's at charter.net.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Heirloomappraisal.com is
yes.
the email. And mm-hmm. find out a lot of information there about all you do and everything mm-hmm. else. Okay, thanks, Dave. Betty in McGregor, Iowa. Your turn now. Hi, Betty.
Well, hi. I'm so glad I got on. I have a question for the appraiser. I have three church windows, and they're leaded stained glass, and they are 7 feet high by... Each of them is 27 inches wide, and they're a little over 7 feet high. And they're 100 years old. I got them from a guy who got them when they wrecked the church in Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin. And I traded him a wooden cook stove and a bunch of other things for him, and I got a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think you did.
I had them for like 15 years, and I just remodeled. I have a real cute basement home perched on the side of the hill, and I had them in front of my sliding glass doors, and I had the doors taken out, and now we've enjoyed them for 15 years. And I would like to sell them and get some money.
Sure.
And you're wondering, where is the market for something like that?
Yeah. Right. We have an auction house in Garnavilla, but I don't want to do that. And my nephew sells Harley Davidson on eBay, and he put them on. He put them in pottery and glass instead of stained glass. And I only got a bid like $1,200, and that's way too cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Way too cheap.
Did you say, how much did you say you got as a bid?
$1,200.
And they were 7 feet tall by 27 inches wide?
Each of them. There's three of them. They're hinged together like a room divider or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And do they have a, how are they made? Do they have, show a picture or just a design?
No, it's a design. The two side ones are the same, and the middle one is beautiful. On the right on the top, it has a circle about maybe 14 or 16 inches in circumference,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like a ray of sunshine coming through. It's beautiful.
Okay.
And I think there are four jewels on that one.
All right. Well, my advice to you was going to be to look into an auction house.
Uh-huh.
Because those are the places, people go to auctions because they want to find something there that they can't find anywhere else.
Well, yeah. We got a good one in Garnavilla.
Yeah. The real key is to find the auction house that can sell what you have.
Oh, I'm sure they can, but I'm going to have to put it on reserve because I won't take less than about $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're beautiful.
Yeah.
I have another question.
Sure.
I have a painting that's been in my barn, like I store stuff in my barn.
Mm-hmm.
I live 8 miles out of town, and I found a picture over there, and I think it's ugly, but it's a still life by Henri Fontan, I think. Still life number one.
Okay.
And my daughter has a friend whose father is Morris Verrazzani, and he's a painter, and you can look on the internet and find him. He does beautiful work. He and his wife are both in their 80s now, but I want to have him look at them, but I just wonder if you know anything about those paintings. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry. I really don't. I don't know if you heard a little bit earlier. I'm not a fine art specialist. I'm an antiques specialist. And so they're different genres, and I really can't say. I don't know it off the top of my head to help you out with that.
And I went on the internet, and it said if it was an original, it's worth like $3.5 million, and I almost dropped dead, but it's not.
Well, again, you have to go and make sure to get it authenticated.
Yep. I am going to.
Okay.
Thanks,
I'm going to get a hold of Allison and have her show it to her father and then go from there.
Great. All right. Good luck.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Claudette in Eau Claire, we turn to you next. Hi, Claudette.
Hi. I just realized that you had said you're not a fine arts dealer but an antiques appraiser and stuff, but I do have a Mother Teresa original picture. It's leaded or pencil charcoal, black and white.
Yep.
She signed it in blue.
Mother Teresa signed it in blue?
Yes, she did. And I do believe it is authentic because I've seen her signatures online. But I don't know how to find information on the artist or how to go about getting this authenticated or appraised.
So you can see the artist's signature on there? Do you
yes,
know?
I can. It's E. First initial is E, as in Edward, and Sharp is the last name, like a sharp tool.
Okay.
And it was done in 81.
All right. Have you gone on the internet and looked for that name?
I did, and I couldn't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's possible that this would be more of an amateur artist
mm-hmm.
who perhaps really admired her, and even though it's not saying it's not well done, because there were a lot of amateurs who before
mm-hmm.
they were well known, you know,
yeah.
That he had done it because he admired her. And so in that respect, possibly the work itself might not have a lot of value. And I'm not sure offhand what the signature, what value that would hold. I've never had anyone ask me to appraised it before.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
I know I would almost say 100% sure that it's authenticated.
Yeah.
It is her signature.
And there's a couple ways, you know, a couple types of collectors who might be interested in that. Of course, it's
mm-hmm.
people who collect religious
mm-hmm.
items.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also just, I hate to say, popular culture,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, she's that well known. That it's almost part of, you know, history,
mm-hmm.
Current history or very nearly current history.
Yeah.
And again, I'd have to research that, and I guess that's the only way to do that. And I'd be starting with some people who know religious art and who know autographs.
Yeah. So that'd be the place to start. Thank you very much for calling, Claudette. And Shirley, I want to just mention again your website is heirloomappraisal.com. You can be emailed at Shirley Bauman, that's with two N's, at charter.net.
Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate you coming by. I know you've got an auction coming up on March 6th, Tuesday, March 6th,
mm-hmm.
at the Peking Palace Restaurant at the Hilldale Shopping Center on Midvale mm-hmm. Avenue.
Mm-hmm. And we're auctioning the restaurant.
Auctioning the restaurant.
They are going out of business, so it's not just in the place. We're auctioning the restaurant equipment and such.
That's another story. Thank
mm-hmm.
you for listening,
okay.
and stay with us. Lots in store.